NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
Yee. Sup, my dudes?
Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les.
And today...
Sometimes I want to say your guys' intros. It's hilarious. I'm like, I'm Janae. I'm Naomi.
Les is all of us at once.
So today I have a fugitive case for you. And part of the reason why I picked this, we'll get into it a little bit. The other thing I wanted to say, too, before we get started, because this will be the first episode that gets posted during quarantine. This is our quarantine setup, y'all. So if it sounds a little weird or things are, sound different from what we usually do, just bear with us. We're trying. And we're trying to be responsible people and stay home. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Plus the lack of, like, not being able to drink and laugh at each other's faces really, really cramps our vibe.
It does kind of cramp the vibe.
Yeah.
But we're doing good and we're still, yeah, we're still doing, chugging along here.
Yeah, we're trying to give you content so you're not bored.
Yeah, because boys is shit annoying and boring.
But okay, so before we begin, I have a content warning. So today's episode deals with the deaths of children. So if this topic is difficult for you, please do what you need to take care of yourself, even if that means you skip this episode. Yeah. So a while ago, I did a fugitive case from the FBI's most wanted list. I think you guys remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that one stuck with me to my core.
Yeah, so the case of, Yasser Saeed, actually the stories of Amina and Sarah Saeed, who were murdered by their father, Yasser Saeed. And to date, there are no new updates on that case. I have it like on Google alert because I'm like, catch that motherfucker. But nothing has changed. When we get an update, I'll let you know. I think it's episode 35, too. Okay.
Cool.
This is actually our most popular episode, analytically.
Really?
Yeah. So, I wasn't sure why. I don't know why that is. But
the Yasser Saeed one is the most?
Yeah.
It's the most? Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
That it's our one most is just insane. It's very recent, too, you know?
It's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So I was like, what made that case popular? Was it the fact that it's a fugitive case? And then I went with that idea and wrote this case about another fugitive from the FBI's most wanted list. So this episode, I went back to that list and pulled a family annihilator case. This is the story of fugitive and number 9 on FBI's most wanted list, Robert Fisher. Stick around after the story and I'll give you the info on what you need to look out for and how you can get involved if you have any information.
Sweet.
Number 9, huh? That's fucking
number 9.
10.
Heck yeah. So I'll give you a little background here first. Robert Fisher was born on April 13th, 1961 in Brooklyn, New York. From what I was able to tell. Oh shit. I didn't even realize that. from what I was able to tell through my research, he had a normal upbringing. Like, I didn't find anything that was, like, out of the ordinary, really. Like, traumas or abuse or anything.
Sure, yeah.
His father was a banker, and he had 2 sisters growing up. At the age of 15, Robert's parents decided to get a divorce. And this is something that he mentioned to a lot of people in his life as having a huge impact on him.
Sure.
And it comes into play later. So he even believed that his life would be very different if his mom had stayed with the family, and like said that to people all the time. Like, well, if my mom didn't leave me, my life would have been different. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Sure, no resentment there, huh?
Right? That couldn't be a brewing hatred for women, could it?
Not at all.
Other than this, there were no remarkable events in his life that I could find. The one other thing that we do know, get your bingo cards ready, because Fisher was in the U.S. Navy.
Damn it.
Of course. Where the fuck is my bingo card? Okay, keep going.
By 1987, Fisher married Mary Cooper and had begun a career as a respiratory therapist at the Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is like a huge thing. Mayo Clinic is
such a huge clinic.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal to work there.
A respiratory therapist, huh?
Yep.
That's fascinating.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So Robert was described as an outdoors man who loved hunting and fishing. And in the past, he had worked in a variety of careers, including as a firefighter and as a catheter technician.
Gross. But yeah, a firefighter too, huh?
Yeah. So everything seemed to be going pretty well in his life. And over time, Mary and Robert would have two children, Brittany and Robert Jr.
Okay.
So he was kind of obsessed with this image of a happy family, and many trace this back to his experiences with his parents' divorce.
I was about to say.
However, this seemed to be fake, as we often hear in these family annihilator cases. Many described Fisher as, quote, awkward and controlling with his children. Fisher's mother said that Mary was reluctant to stand up to him, and Fisher's mother even tried to warn Mary that she was seeing all the similar dynamics that she had seen in her relationship to Robert's father.
Really?
This raises genetic questions.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting, like, tidbit.
Warning.
Yeah.
To her fucking, yeah, I hate that shit. Like, yeah, be careful with my son. He's terrible.
Yeah. It's like, well, do something about it.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Like, what kind of fucking, why did y'all get divorced? Real question. Wait, his mom is the one who warned her about that?
Yep.
Robert's mom? So she didn't stick around with the family, but she still, like, contacted him, and he still had contact with her. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jesus, why is he so butthurt?
Why is he so butthurt?
I want to know.
Agreed. So, the Fishers were heavily involved in the church, and that even included marriage counseling with the church in 1998.
No offense to those of you who are, you know, religious, but it doesn't surprise me.
Religion is not inherently bad.
Yeah.
However,
you probably took it too far, like they do.
That marriage counseling through the church is like, it's one thing if you are very heavily involved in your faith. It's another thing if they're telling you, like, well, he's your husband, so you have to do what your husband tells you to. Like, no, that's abuse.
Yep.
Yeah. So interesting. Okay. So his wife and him seeked marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm. Through the church. Okay. And they were involved in the church pretty much their entire marriage. It was like something that was really important to them. In the months leading up to his crimes, Robert's behavior became very strange. He withdrew from all the church activities he had once been a part of and began using massage parlors to cheat on his wife.
That's oddly specific. Okay.
Massage parlors. Gross.
Yeah. So, you know, using sex work to cheat on his wife. Cool.
Yeah.
Of course.
He told some coworkers about a time where he had actually gotten a UTI from an encounter, and he was paranoid that his wife would find out because of it.
Gross.
Like, why would you tell your coworkers that?
Yeah, keep this to yourself, dude.
That is not need to know information, sir. he also claimed that he only cheated on his wife once.
At one place, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, one place.
Multiple times.
He's just a regular.
Yeah, basically.
No.
He has like a subscription to monthly like service fees charges.
Wow, I hate that.
It's like massage envy, but different.
Ew. He's like flash a special badge when you walk in.
God.
They know okay. that you're there for the special services.
I don't sense any resentment towards women, no.
No,
not at all. Okay, so Robert's fears of losing his family became even more intense, and he was even telling his friends that he was ready to renew his commitment to his family because he, quote, couldn't live without them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is this saying, like, losing his family? Like, in the sense that they find out he was cheating on his wife?
Yeah, so, like, okay. All his paranoia is essentially coming from his, like, cheating.
Like,
bullshit.
Adultery, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, maybe don't cheat on your wife then?
Just yeah. Well, and, like, I think a lot of the things that come up in this case are, like, well, he was traumatized by his parents' divorce. And it's, like, well, don't do shit that would make you get divorced and you'll be fine.
Now I'm, like, okay, did he see some sort of, like, is his mom the one who cheated? Who cheated out of his parents? Like, what is happening? Why did he even cheat on his wife? You know, it seems like they had counseling going. Like, it shouldn't be surprising to him that if there are issues, but it makes you wonder, like, why is he seeking, you know, strange sex outside of the marriage?
Yeah, especially if he has this intense fear of losing his family. It just doesn't super make strange. Sense.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, Robert's fear would soon come true. Mary had been telling friends for a while that she was going to be filing for divorce in the weeks before her death. On April 9th, 2001, neighbors hear the Fishers arguing in their home. Just 10 hours later, the house would burst into flames. If he couldn't have them, no one could.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about fucking family annihilators blowing up their house. Why?
And the kids were in there too.
Their family.
Oh, we'll get into what actually happened.
Fuck.
Right now. So.
Yeah, I imagine it's because the house is a symbol of their family they could have had.
That makes sense. I wouldn't have thought of that. But that makes sense.
It's all about the symbolism.
These fucking family annihilators and their goddamn symbolism.
Metaphor. We joke, but that's terrible that he burned down their house.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah.
The whole I can't have you. And, like, at this point, it's like, you fucking cheated on your wife, dude. Like, what do you expect her to do? Not get a divorce?
Yeah,
you and you're obviously, like, happens. Off your rocker. Like,
yeah, for real.
That's upsetting.
So, in the early morning, on April 10th, 2001, Robert shot his wife and then slit the throats of his children, Brittany, who was 12,
and
Robert Jr., who was 10.
What the fuck?
The home then blew up around 8:40 a.m.
This is more fucked up than I thought.
Wait, so he killed them before he blew up the house?
Yes.
Okay, and why the fuck did he kill them in different ways? Like, why did he shoot his wife and then slit the throats of his kids? Like, that just seems so excessive. Much more, like more personal what he did to his kids in a way. Like, gives his wife the quick out, but yet these guys have to suffer for what, you know?
That's fucked.
It's weird.
It's interesting because it's not ever really explained either, right?
Why the fuck did he not have enough bullets, you know? I'm like, so many fucking questions. Oh my god.
Yeah. So investigators... Go ahead, sorry.
He killed them in the morning.
Yeah. Really early in the morning. Yeah. Okay. So like 4 or 5. So the home blew up around 8:40 a.m. Investigators discovered that the home's furnace was pulled out to allow gas to leak throughout the home, and Robert had left a candle lit, which caught the gas and set the home on fire.
I feel like I saw this ahead. on a Cold Case Files episode.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did.
Like, I don't think it was this case, but like doing that specifically, and I'm like,
which like
that unoriginal.
Wait, so that's how the house blew up, though, officially?
Yeah.
Was like that candle. Okay. So he knew he was going to blow up the house. He knew, why the fuck would you need to blow up the house if you, was he trying to cover up his tracks? Was he trying to cover up the crime?
I think so, to the best of his ability, but he was also trying to get a head start on running, which we'll get into.
This little fucking coward. Oh, I hate that. Like, if you're going to fucking kill someone, all certainly and shit, like, for your craziness, you're going to not stick around. You know you're doing something wrong. Like, what the fuck? Pisses me off.
Yes. It's like, you deserve the fucking consequences of your actions, especially when it comes to these family annihilator cases. I'm like, you're such a piece of shit that you killed your own children to prove a point. Are you fucking serious?
Well, it's why take away the life of your wife and your children just because you fucked up and you cheated?
The timeline here doesn't make sense, you know? Yeah, and usually there's like this thing that sets them off of like, you know, yeah, her filing for divorce maybe, but before then they were getting counseling. Like, did no one see his behavior as toxic? Like, is his wife the only one who's like trying to take care of the kids and get them out of there? Like, his mom obviously knows, but is there any help happening in the situation for him if he has mental illness, you know? No.
Right.
And it looks like he sought help, you know, in different ways. And yeah, how did it escalate to barely any like suspicious behavior to this, like within months, you know?
I'd be interested to hear what the church marriage counselor told him, but that's my own personal bias coming in there.
Janae, do you find that often the religious aspect is involved too in these kind of cases?
Well, when I think about some of the cases we've covered, right? Yasser Saeed, not at all.
Yeah.
When we think about like the Scott, or not Scott, I'm sorry, Josh Powell.
Yeah.
They were heavily involved in the Mormon church.
Interesting.
Or the Church of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, right.
LDS.
What was the one that we talked about pretty early on where he was found by a bus that was made by a reconstructive person? Like, he also had annihilated his whole family, kept them in the house with the AC turned all the way up, and like he fled.
Oh,
and they found him years later.
John List.
Yeah, John List.
John List.
Was he also heavily religious?
Yes.
I don't remember that. Really?
Yes.
Because he was another family annihilator.
Yeah, and all of these have like a thread of patriarchal monotheistic religion. Just going to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings up an interesting question about religion and what it teaches about relationships. I had never made that connection until now, though. But when I think about cases like Chris Watts.
Yeah.
Like, we don't. To my knowledge, they're not religious, right? They weren't religious.
I don't think so. But even if so, I wouldn't be surprised if he like maybe didn't practice it so frequently, but claimed that he was, because religion for some of these people like offers them some sort of like model or idealistic set of like lifestyle and life beliefs and maybe your actions, which is why we find like so often like a lot of corruption and disgusting pigs are in like the Catholic Church, right? Like in the Vatican and stuff. And it's because of that whole concept of like, I have to be good all the time. You know, this is like the sample or example I'm living up to and want to. And then they're shamed. There's a lot of shame involved in like failing in that sense. Yeah. But yeah, so it's really interesting to me. I wonder if like the stress and pressure.
Yeah, and for some people, that's like, it's the only sense of structure they have.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Guided. Not by any means judging those like religious principles at all. But anyone who's in this kind of like mindset could turn something like that into a really unhealthy kind of like thing hovering over them.
It's like coming from a family that is very, very religious, I feel like it like inherently, as I think I mentioned in an earlier episode, like religion is not bad. And it's just that if you already have something going on with you and then you find something that will give you more power, unfortunately you're going to spiral with whatever that thing is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this like candle lighting thing I thought was interesting. I mean, of course, given the context, this is horrible, but that's like very well thought out.
Yeah.
Super well thought out. And he knew, like, there's a whole timeline here that he's setting up.
Perfectly. Yeah. Exactly.
The candle and, like, is such a subtle thing. Mm-hmm. How did the police actually find that? Well, the murder, right? So they find their bodies of the family and then realize that it was a homicide and it was, like, intentional, right? Do you think that he was trying to set up, like, a kind of, like, accidental fire with the candle? And they knew.
No.
Really?
No. I don't think that. I really think it was just to get a head start. Because I think he had planned this out so meticulously because of how long he's been on the run. He's been on the run for 19 years.
Oh, my God.
This happened in 2001.
Shithead. Really don't understand him. Like, most of the time, you know, even with Richard Ramirez, like, as fucking crazy as he will be, and you'll hear about, but, like, there was some sort of level of, like, okay, that makes sense, you know? Even if you're following their train of thought. Him, not so much. Like, I can't pinpoint his motive or, like, his goal exactly. And like, wow, he's been hiding that long. That's crazy. I would have thought maybe eventually, like, notoriety, and okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Very tricky. Maybe that's why he's so hard to catch.
And I think that's part of it. It's just like such planning. Like, and I can't imagine meticulously planning out the deaths of the people you're supposed to love the most and then running like a bitch. You know?
Yeah. And the fact that he slit their throats, I'm still so curious about that. Like, you obviously planned what happened there, you know?
Yeah, you really did.
Yeah. Interesting. So, he flees. Okay.
The use of the candle as a more delayed fuse gave Fisher almost a 10-hour head start on the police.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the firefighters had some difficulty putting out the almost 20-foot fire because things like paint cans.
Jesus.
There were things like paint cans and gun ammo exploding from the heat of the fire that were injuring the first responders trying to put the fire out.
Oh, shit. Because he was a hunter and whatnot. He had those weapons in. Whoa. Scary. He almost killed multiple people that night with just that fire alone. That 20 foot, dude. Could you imagine being your neighbor?
No.
Well, it was so big that they were like trying to keep it off the roofs of the people next door because it had grown to such a size. When you see the pictures, which we'll probably post a picture of the blaze on our Instagram as well.
Yeah.
And it is fucking huge. Like, it's massive. We thought the Josh Powell one is big, right? When we watched that. This is, like, twice that size.
Jesus.
It's huge. Once the blaze was put out, police discovered the bodies of Mary, Brittany, and Robert Jr. on the remains of what they think is the couple's bed.
Okay.
The common theory here is that Fisher couldn't stand to allow Mary to divorce him and that he couldn't let his kids go through what he did as a child dealing with the divorce of his parents.
Oh my God. Like, how bad was it? I don't understand. Like, what did he go through that was so bad after the divorce? Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, and I, like, as a child who kind of, like, vaguely divorced, you know, like, it did not impact me in a way like that. Like, do I have fucking abandonment issues? Yes, but like,
exactly.
Not like this, you know?
Yes, and by every means, like, divorce is traumatic and like, it is, but I just couldn't imagine like what he means by that. Like, I want to put you out of your misery so you don't have to face, like, you must have suffered greatly if you think that it's worth killing your children over. Like, sparing their life.
Even my notes say, like, so you kill them instead? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Like, seriously, just, you could have been a better father. You could have just not cheated on your wife. And guess
what? You could pay for therapy.
You could have avoided for all of that. Jesus.
No, it was unstable. But his crime, like his so like measured and precise actions are hard. It's hard for me to believe that he is mentally unstable.
Yep.
You know?
It's like he was clearly in his right mind if he was able to plan this in such detail. So Fisher was quickly named. Yeah, exactly. Fisher was quickly named an official person of interest in the case, and he would later be charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of arson. 10 days after Fisher murdered his family in cold blood, investigators got the one and only physical piece of evidence to Robert's whereabouts.
The only piece. Okay.
The only piece. Police found Mary's car and the family dog in the Tonto National Forest about 100 miles away from the crime scene.
Was the dog alive?
No.
Damn it!
I don't think so. It might have been. They might have found him running around. I can't remember. I wrote this a while ago, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
I also think his name was Blue. This area is known for having many caves nearby, and while authorities searched this area, they didn't conduct a very good search of the caves.
Okay.
To this day, the prevailing theory is that Robert used these caves to commit suicide or to hide where he died of lack of oxygen. However, his body's never been found.
Mm.
Whoa.
So at least the running theory is that he's dead.
Okay.
Oh, we're getting there.
Damn it. I hate when you say that.
In 2004, a man with a similar face and build to Fisher was arrested by the Canadian Royal Mounties in Vancouver. Upon fingerprinting the man and comparing them, they found that he wasn't Fisher and released him. Okay. In 2012, FBI received tips that Fisher might be in another Arizona area, but that never panned out either. And a little hometown touch for you. In 2014, there were more tips that led the FBI to raid a home in Commerce City, Colorado, where Fisher was not found, and he has never been found.
I hate that.
How the fuck? How?
Unfortunately, I know, I don't get it either. And, like, if you know there are caves in the area, then conduct searches, but I know some of that is, like, it could collapse.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dangerous. Here, I'm going to look up this guy. I'm so curious.
So unfortunately, this is where our story ends. He is still on the run. So in 2002, Fisher was placed on the FBI's most wanted list. There is currently a $100,000 reward for information leading to his capture. He is 6 feet tall, white, 190 pounds, with blue eyes and brown hair. He has surgical scars on his lower back and a noticeable gold crown on one of his teeth. He chews tobacco and has ties to Florida and New Mexico, and he is considered armed and dangerous, likely in possession of many guns. He should not be approached, but if you see him or if you or anyone you know has any information about Fisher's whereabouts, please share that information. I will have links in the description to submit online for the FBI and those kinds of things. After 19 years, it's about time that family gets some justice. So
honestly, yeah, they really do deserve it.
Fairly aged by now, it looks like, but still would be healthy enough to be alive and well, like going about his day normally. So very fucking interesting.
Well, and my concern with stuff like that is like, at the beginning, I said he was like a hunter and a fisherman, so like he could potentially live off the land.
Yep.
You know? It's just scary. Or like he was a firefighter, so obviously he was in good shape.
Yeah. You know?
Like, it just pisses me off. These fugitive ones make me really fucking angry because like you run.
Yeah. Like, and it looks like there's a picture that he has last seen in like 2001 in April.
Yep.
You always manage to find ones that are really going to piss us off.
I really like the fugitive ones.
Me too.
They're interesting. They're
exciting. And, like, what do you even fucking do if you see him, you know? There are so many white men who look like this guy. That fucking sucks. Yeah.
He's probably been seen around. So they think there's a possibility he might have died too. That's interesting. I kind of would lean a little more towards that in a way. Almost like, I don't know. He's tricky.
But we'll have pictures on the Instagram of him and then also of the fire.
Wow.
And yeah, if you have information, we'll have all those links, like send it to the FBI. Not only is there a reward in it if he's captured, but also like getting justice for a family that fucking deserves it.
Yeah.
So.
Because shit's fucked. Wow. Yeah. Shouldn't be able to get away with that shit.
Exactly.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
Very yeah, of cool, course. Ladies. Thanks. And my sources were Wikipedia, the podcast, sorry, the podcast Crime Junkie, and the FBI website.
Nice.
So there's also a documentary on Amazon about him, but I did not watch it. So
cool.
Interesting. Very fucking cool. All right. Well, we'll be coming back next week.
Yeah. Hell come yes. Come back and hear some stuff about England's most violent criminal.
Yes.
Yeah. And it'll be awesome. I'm excited to share
with you guys.
Fuck yes. Cool. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. See ya.
Peace out.